we find a wonderful combination or a synthesis of the theory as well as practice. The principle is to be intellectually understood, and that intellectual understanding has to be implemented in practice. Both have to go hand in hand. Without putting into practice, the principles are of not much use. Also, if we do not know the principles, then what are we going to practice? So both these things are very important. Understanding the theory and implementing that theory into practice. And we saw Sri Krishna told Arjuna that these two things you have to remember. First thing that I told you, the intellectual understanding, Sankhya, and the practicalization of it, Yoga. Sankhya and Yoga. Sankhya here is not the technical word used to describe a particular philosophy, Sankhya philosophy of the six Indian philosophies. One is called Sankhya, but that is not what is meant here. Here, the word Sankhya is used to convey the intellectual idea. You have to understand the principles intellectually, rationally. That rationality is very important. We need not or should not just accept somebody's words without letting them rationally understood by us. We have to understand things rationally. That is Sankhya. Vedanta has a lot of emphasis on rational understanding. It is not a belief system that sometimes religion is spoken of as a belief system. You just accept something people do and keep on doing it. But this is not that. You have to rationally analyze, understand. And after understanding it, what do you do? Now implement it. So implementation is yoga. Conversion of the theory, all those important, beautiful principles, they are now to be converted into practical experience. The concepts have to become our experience. That is what is called yoga. And he is describing, we saw last time, that how our work has to be converted into spiritual practice. That is yoga, karma yoga. And he told the four aspects about it, that you have to work, because to work is in your jurisdiction, not the results thereof. A very important principle in practice of yoga, because our mind goes towards the results. And thus, we do not properly follow or practice what we should be doing, because the mind has gone into the results, which are not really determined by us. Our work is just one factor in the determination of the result. So many factors come into play before the result gets determined. Our working is just one aspect or one part of it, and that is our jurisdiction. So we have to do the work. But we should not expect the results, because that is not within our jurisdiction. One has to be clear about it, that to work we have the right, not to the results thereof. The third part is of the same verse, that do not become the cause for bondage through the work. Normally, when we do work without making it a yoga, then the work keeps on binding us. More and more bondage gets piled up because the work is like that. That is the nature of work. That you have the idea that I have done this work, and as you do that work, the result comes to you. That result again becomes another work. So the chain continues unending. There is no end to it. It keeps on, and then we try to then justify it. After all, we have to do our duty. Yes, you have to do your duty, but without expecting results, then alone that work becomes yoga. Doing the works, expecting the results, it creates bondage for us. Every expectation creates a bondage associated with it. So, that is the third idea. All these ideas will be gradually expounded more and more as we go ahead. But in the nutshell, Lord Krishna has told them right in the beginning that. And the last and most important thing, especially in that present situation of crisis of Arjuna, and in which we many a times find ourselves, and that is, don't yield to inaction. Don't get addicted to laziness. It is a spontaneous feeling that comes in us, that terrible work, enough of it. If you do work, then people criticize you, and you have to take so much responsibility. Forget it, I am not going to do any work. Now just let me go and relax. It is not relaxing. It is just getting into that tamas or laziness, indolence. The mind keeps on in those such situation. Normally you will see the minds when it becomes lazy, keeps on brooding, keeps on criticizing the whole world, thinking about all the bad things about everybody. That is what the mind starts doing when it is idle. That is why it is said that the idle mind is devil's workshop. So that one has to refrain conscientiously from being idle. In his book Karma Yoga, Swami Vivekananda therefore mentions that if you are not able to do work without expectations, then do it with expectation. Don't remain idle. It is quite possible that most of us are not capable of doing work without expectation. So what to do then? Then don't do work at all? That is not an option. It is much better to keep busy. It is much better to keep on doing something rather than sitting idle. So don't get addicted to inaction. And then he proceeded that we saw these things last time. Yogasthak kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. This state of sameness. When you are doing the work as yoga, you do not care much about the external success or failure in the work. Keep on doing that work, whether people praise it or they blame you for that, whether you achieve success or do not achieve success, do not worry about it. Because success, failure in the work are secondary. What is important is using the work as the means of purification. The work has the great potential to purify the worker. that potential is used in karma yoga. In karma, the work when we do without making it yoga or without considering this aspect of the work, we are only thinking about the external result. Like a farmer will measure the success of the work by seeing how much yield he or she has got and how much profit he or she can make out of it. That will determine the success of it. Yes, I have spent so much money in getting those all those honey, these things set, and how much did I get out of this selling honey and other things, and the success will be determined by, yes, I have earned $10,000 or $50,000, whatever, through this endeavor. So you calculate the success, external success. But the success as yoga has nothing to do with it. Even you succeed in terms of yoga, you may be failing. Even if you fail, you may be failing. It is not that we have to see that we fail. Sometimes one takes the meaning of this verse wrongly like this. So don't care for success or failure means take care that you fail. No, that is not the idea. Whether you succeed or whether you fail externally doesn't make a difference in making that work bear on your character. What bears on your character, what brings out the potential of work to internally transform you is how much you do it without looking at the success or failure, without expecting the results. Somebody may praise you, okay. Somebody may blame you, okay. Keep on doing your work without caring for this praise or blame. Because the world is like that. Some people are always going to praise you, some people are always going to blame you. There is no work that will bring uniform praise from everybody. Not possible at all. Something you do, it is going to give pleasure to somebody, that person is going to praise you. And it is going to bring suffering, misery or pain to somebody, and that person is sure to blame you. And people have different temperaments. So there is always praise, blame that will be going on. So a yogi, the one who wants to do work for transformation of inner awareness, he is always focused on doing the work as duty. Doing the work because you have to do it, irrespective of whether people praise me for it or blame. So, and also whether success comes in it or failure comes. Keep on doing it. That is yoga samatvam yoga uchyate. And then he told that if you do not work like this, then you miss the tremendous potential that the work has in transforming you. If you do not do the work as yoga, then what happens? Then you are really using only a small part of the work. Like it is like bringing a very good computer, very costly computer, and then using it just as a typewriter. It is, you are using only very little part of the capacity of it. Almost nothing that which you could have used an ordinary typewriter for that, or used your pen for that, and you are using the computer for that purpose. It is like that, we have this capacity of work for our inner transformation, but we are not using it. It is misuse of this work if we are not using the yoga aspect of it. Yoga aspect is the real idea of the work. A person is has many things but doesn't use them because he doesn't know how to use that. So it just remains there, becomes rather a burden. So our work also becomes a burden because we do not use the biggest, most important capacity of it. Work has the capacity to purify, as Shankara points out in Vivek Chudamani, that chittasya shuddhaye karma. Karma, what does it do? It internally purifies you. When you are doing work outside, like say, painting the house is getting painted, and also there is a feedback of your work to your mind. That is painting, that is also coloring your mind, and that color depends on the attitude of the work. The external color will depend on what particular paint you have chosen, and that will paint the walls in a particular paint. And also, how you do it externally depends on how much skill you have got in that, how carefully you do it. But the internal effect of it will depend on with what attitude you are doing this work. So, if you are doing it very good, with 100% attention, complete diligence in work, and yet not expecting the results at all, then that will transform our character and make us see the truth. The Vedanta says that we do not see the truth because of the impurity. The mind is impure, and so we do not see the truth. So every work has this potential. This opens up a very important thing for we people. This Bhagavad Gita is told to Arjuna is very significant. He is a warrior. He is from the that kingly clan who has to rule. So don't have much time. All the time they have that administrative job, continuously busy. Such people, you cannot expect them to find a lot of time for spiritual practice like the recluse. A recluse sitting in the forest doesn't have much to do. If Swami performs some spiritual practices, meditations and all, you can say, yes, what else Swami has to do? Nothing. So he can, he has lot of time. Look at the other people. Arunim will say to me, Swami, you see, always I have to be on call all the time. It is so much of tension at work. I don't know what will happen next moment. I don't know when I have to go to India, when this is happening, when that is happening. In the field of actual work, it is so tense. So how can I find that stability of mind and also a proper time to devote to meditation? I am so busy, Swamiji. So when we are all busy like that, the best course is to learn how to transform our work into worship. When you don't have special time to be devoted to worship, Triveni, what should we do? Change the work into worship. Right, so changing the work into worship. That is so important for us that we are all busy people, no time. So let us learn this science, very important. And if we do not, even if we have a lot of time, suppose I would say, no, Swami, I have nothing else to do, I have a lot of time, and let me not bother about this. No. Then what will happen? Even if you have a lot of time, if you don't learn this science, what will happen? Your worship will become work then. Instead of work becoming worship, you will see that, yes, I have done my worship today, as if I have done great this... I have indebted God with so many things. I feel that I have done my job, as if this is a work. Doing worship becomes a work if this attitude is not there. So whether you have time or whether you don't have time, learning this science is very important. That attitude matters. What work we do doesn't matter. With what attitude we do, that matters. So that is what is the cause of internal transformation. And this internal transformation is sure to bring peace and happiness in mind. Because mind is the most important instrument in getting peace, getting happiness. The things do not bring us happiness or peace. If you analyze, it is very easy to see that it is the peace and happiness they are in mind. So the mind is to be brought in proper condition. Whether I have one car or 10 cars or no car doesn't bring happiness or peace. What brings happiness or peace is that particular condition of mind. So therefore this attitude is very important for serving even our mundane purpose of life. For what do we do work for? To get happiness, is it not? We want to be happy. We want to be happy, is it not, Elizabeth? Yes, we want to be happy, so we do work. Now, therefore, if we know what is required to make us happy, our work will bear the proper desired result. Otherwise, we will be working hard, but we will not get peace and happiness. So this science is important from that point of view also. So this is yoga. So he exhorts Arjuna into the in next verse. Buddhi yukto jahatih ubhe sukrit duskrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva yoga karma sukaushalam. This is another beautiful definition of yoga. All these, you know, so many ways he is describing yoga. What is yoga? First he told that your yoga is that samatvam yoga uchyate. Now he is telling that yoga is the dexterity of work. He says, buddhi yukto jahatiha, endowed with this wisdom, one gets rid of both good and evil even here. Therefore take to yoga. Yoga is the skill in work. That sukrita duskrita, relative good and relative evil, they come and go. Moreover, that depends on the position that you take. Evil and good are not cut and dried pieces, that this is permanently good and this is permanently evil. In Western philosophy, it is a very big challenge to make this understandable, because good and evil are always treated as if they are two completely segregated things. And generally then, how they are decided? I the good, you the evil. Simple solution, you say. I the good, we the good. And they evil. You know, whatever the others do, evil, we the good. It is really, if you analyze and see, it is not that simple at all. Good and evil are so much connected with each other and so difficult to decide what is good and what is evil objectively. They are really the subjective, subjective perceptions. I don't say that they are unimportant. They are important. But they are important for guidance of our actions, not for imposition on others. They are matters for self-introspection rather than passing judgment on others. Passing judgment on others, that is how these things are applied, that they are the evil. Let us eliminate the evil from the world. Means what? Kill those who don't agree with us, is it not? They don't agree with us. And why they don't agree with us? The very fact that they don't agree with us show that they are evil. And so, killing them is very good, because that is the way we are eliminating this evil in the world. So this is the way that evil is perpetrated, thinking that I am good, the others are evil. But a yogi, therefore, sees this, that good and evil, anything you do, you cannot do a work, not a single thing in the world. Try to think of anything you do. Everything that we do is going to bring pleasure to somebody, pain to somebody. There is nothing in the world which is purely good or purely bad. Not a single thing. We, in India, a charitable dispensary was run by us. Then what happened? We thought that we are doing good work. One doctor came to us and said, "Look, Swamiji, you are starting these things, but see, you are free dispensary, everybody will go there. Who is then going to come to us?" So then I realized that, well, we are maybe bringing happiness to some people, but some people are not going to be happy about that. He said, "Then you give me a job, you do one thing. You give me employment in your dispensary. Because then all will go to your dispensary, who is going to come to us?" So then it is very... it was an eye-opener that even such a work cannot be doing good to everybody. And then I thought, at least it does good to patients. We used to have the mobile dispensary going today. Even now that runs there, very nice work. No doubt it is a very good work. And I used to think, when people used to say that, "Swami, what a wonderful thing, you started this work. There was no medicine or medical service available in this area." People used to come, you know, from 10 miles walking with children. And, the doctor used to examine and give medicine and all. It was, I thought, how great work we are doing, you know. And one old man, now old people are sometimes, they have better wisdom. So while I was thinking, and patting on my own back. Wow, what a great work I am doing. He came and said, hey, the work is good, no doubt. But to tell you the truth, before you opened this dispensary here, there were not so many sick people in our village. And I don't dispute what he says. It happens. Psychologically, when a medical facility comes, people start falling sick automatically. Otherwise, they don't remember that they are ill. But when they see the doctor, immediately they start remembering, I have a pimple in my nose, things like that. No, come on, let me go to the doctor. So, it is like that, did we do a good or evil? Difficult to say, good or evil. Maybe it is how to determine how whether then should we do it or should we not do it. And the question comes, if it is not, we are not able to fix whether it is good or evil, then since it is neither good nor evil, let us stop it then. No, don't stop it. That is why God has warned earlier, don't yield to this tendency of inaction. You have to work. Good or evil, both are going to be part of it. You do it without desires, without any ill feelings towards anybody. That is doing good. Subjectively, from your side, for you, it is not the question of external good and evil, but this very fact that your intentions are good, you are doing it with good intentions, good attitude, that is going to help you spiritually in cleansing your mind. And that is going to take place. If not, externally you may argue that I did so much of good work. We gave medicine to 500,000 patients in last year. Great work. Well, yeah, great work. What happened to you? If that is making me egotistic, if that is making me think that I am a great fellow, and hey, those other people, they are useless, if that is becoming my attitude, then it has harmed me. From the point of view of yoga, then I have hurt myself by doing that work. I have added more dirt in my mind. And therefore, here Lord says, buddhi yukto jahatiha ubhe sukrita duskrite. The words are really very powerful words, that by conjoined with this yoga attitude and give up this idea of external good and evil, and yogaya yujyasva, do yoga. And that is real dexterity in work. External dexterity, yes, doing the work very nicely. The other day one girl had come here and she was, she just came to the kitchen, asked, can I do something? Said, yes, you can chop these potatoes. And she chopped them so well. It is perfection, very nice. It was a joy to see that simple work, cutting, chopping the potato, not anybody, so everybody does that kind of work. But yes, that was done with exemplary dexterity. So quick, so beautiful, every slice was of same size. It was really beautifully executed job. Now, this is the external dexterity. Internal dexterity depends on how you have steered clear of the bondage. Because the work is generating bondage every time. That if I do some work nicely, expecting that people will praise me, Swami, you give such a wonderful talk. And next time, it becomes an expectation. Why? Anne told me last time you gave good talk, this time she just walked away without telling me. It becomes a bondage, you know. It is a terrible bondage, you see. The bondage comes in various forms. That desire, seeking, all these ideas are to be rejected. Then it becomes yoga, that doing work like that. That is the dexterity in the work. And Acharya Shankara has written such a beautiful commentary why this should be called the dexterity in work. He says, the jnani swabhavikani bandhasuhavani karmani. Those actions which are swabhavika means by their own nature, they create bondage. The dexterity in work is, yes, even if they are coming to create bondage, you steer clear of the bondage and do the work. Therefore, it is said that, these examples are given in Sri Ramakrishna's biography. Some such examples are given that some poets in Bengal would describe this as, make a snake, you know, a snake is there and you put a frog near the snake's mouth. Now the snake will jump to catch it, lift it, again bring it down to its mouth, again lift it. It should go into the snake's mouth, but see that the snake doesn't catch it. That is the skill. You are doing work. Work has nature to bind. So, how skillful is that job? See, making a frog dance in the mouth of the snake. So, doing the work as yoga is such a skillful thing. It's a matter of practice. People do so many things as a matter of practice. It is, Sri Ramakrishna used to give the example, that in the circus, that girl was standing on the running horse. The horse was running, and on the back of the horse she was doing so much gymnastic. She just jumped, went through a loop, and then again landed right on the running horse. He said that it is how much practice she must have had to do it. She is not a special somebody, but through practice one becomes perfect in these things. It is, my grandfather decided to teach me how to juggle with ball, you know. And I never liked those things. He was a strict disciplinarian. So, hey, sit here. Every day, 5 minutes, do it. It was a boring job for children. And then for every second of those 5 minutes appear like a month, you know. So, it is... And just do it, throw the ball like this, not like that, it should come like a round, throw like that. And I thought that it is so difficult, I am never going to be able to do it. But after 6 months, I saw I am able to do it a little bit. After some more time, I found that I can not only with 2 balls, I can juggle with 3 balls and 4 balls, and then it became joy. You get it, you can start, you learn it, a matter of practice. That which appears to be always so difficult, to the border of being impossible, by practice that becomes possible. So, this is so difficult, doing work and yet not being bound. Not working is not an option, remember. So, only choice is to learn or get caught, get bound. learn or get bound, only two choice, not doing work is not an option. So better learn the skill then. Better learn, there is no returning back, no running away. So that determination is therefore important. That do we have a choice to run back, run away? No. And there is a very nice incident in history where one, that there was one general who was sent to capture a fort there in Maharashtra. And he and his brother, they had that army, both went to capture the fort. And it was a difficult thing to capture. There was the fort was too difficult to climb on, and yet these people were very brave at the dead of the night. With there are about 300 people army, they climbed and the battle broke. They had put some ropes to climb up. Now as they start, the battle started, this general was struck by a deadly blow and he died there. And when the other in the army, other soldiers saw that their general has fallen, they were scared and started running away. So this brother of this general, he went and first cut the ropes. He said, now you have the choice, either to jump down and die. It's a drop of about 500 or more feet down straight. So there is no chance of survival. So jump down and die, no ropes. Or fight and win. So we have, our situation is similar, friends. Either practice yoga and win, there is chance of victory. Otherwise, bondage. Death is waiting. You know, nobody is going to survive too long. This is a chance to win. This human birth has tremendous potential. There is a very nice small book written by Swami Ranganathananji about the glory of this human life, what we can achieve in human life. So if we achieve this, then we have performed the right, made the right use of human life. If not, then it is all a waste. You had been given the opportunity to get liberated, but we wasted that opportunity. The Upanishads are very clear on this point. As I had emphasized earlier, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but a great divine commentary on Upanishads. The Keno Upanishad says, for example, that those who practice this and get liberated, they have made good use of this life. Atha satyamasti. That if iha chedavedi tatha satyamasti, if you understand this truth, if you experience this truth in this life, then you have made use of this life. Na chediha vedit mahati vinashti. If you do not realize this truth in life, then mahati vinashti, human life had provided this great opportunity to you, and you have, you fool, you have wasted it. Mahati vinashti, big loss. This is a big investment, you know. Human birth is a big investment. Amongst all these different species, human life, human birth alone has the potential to think what is right and what is wrong and act according to what is right. No other species has this capacity. No other species has this capacity to get liberated. So, this body is very important. So before it is dead, make use of it. When, how long it is going to last, no one knows. So before it breaks, make do this work first. All other things that can be done, or whether they are done or whether they are not done, doesn't matter. But if you get liberated in this very life, you have made proper use of life. Other things, let me become a great musician, let me become a big mass leader, or let me become a big scientist. Whether you become, whether you don't become, doesn't make much of a difference. It is, if you are in bondage, it is the same thing. Yes, you will die a scientist. Instead of dying a non-scientist, you die a scientist. Doesn't make much of a difference. It is, makes difference is this, becoming liberated, becoming perfected. So, he says, Lord Krishna says here, this is the dexterity of work. That let us work. Work we must. Let us work and yet not get bound by that work. What a great thing. This is what we need to learn. This is yoga. Therefore, he says, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Yoga is the skill in the work. And he tells in this next verse that karmajam buddhi yukta hi phalam tyaktva manishinha janma bandha vinirmukta padam gacchanti anamayam. Endowed with wisdom, giving up the fruit resulting from action, attaining self-realization, and freed from the bondage of birth, verily they go to that abode which is free from evil. So, he gives that assurance that this is a tried path. It is not that you are doing it for the first time. Don't have to worry. This is a tried and tested, chartered path. So, there is not that you are experimenting with it. No. The success is guaranteed. Because this is tried by so many people already. This has so many people have attained liberation, gone beyond all evil by practicing this yoga. So you also do that. Don't feel scared. Don't feel that sort of, if I do, but if I don't get success. No, it is success is sure. Because there is so many have achieved the success in this path. So just start practicing and the skill will come. The practice is sure to bring the skill gradually. Don't be impatient. It is, as I told you, when I was told 5 minutes. Now I don't think 5 minutes is a big time. But then, when the other friends were calling out to play, hey, come on, those 5 minutes were terrible, you know. But yes, you have to keep on doing for 5 minutes. And gradually you learn. 5 minutes only, you know. So, if we pay that much attention to our work will become the means of liberation. And then that is the success in the work. That is the real skill in the work. And let us do that. Any questions? Let us conclude with the closing prayers. Oh, you have a question, okay.
What about spiritual people? I think you mentioned in the previous, it was not very clear. What about spiritual people? For them, work is worship. I mean, worshiping like sages who live in the. I'm talking about India, not here. People who live in caves in the Himalayas for years and years.
Yeah.
Practicing severe practices, spiritual practices. For them, that is work. How would you differentiate?
Yes, that is a very good question. No, it is. There is always a tendency. It comes to even to the monks also. I will describe it. It is a very nice question. That we feel that those who are sitting in the caves, they are not doing any work. And so theirs must be a different path, because they of course must be getting liberated. So theirs must be a very different path. There also it is the purification that is going on. The work is different. Like here we have variety of works. Some people is, for example, making the shoes. Some people is a professional musician. Some person is a teacher, somebody is a doctor. So somebody is just a thinker sitting in the cave. That is one thing. That is work. It is, secondly, it is not suitable to everyone. Very few people are really capable of doing that, because most of the people who go for that purpose and sit in the cave, the mind becomes so restless. It is not that they are doing spiritual practice there. Many of such people, because they are not really suitable for this kind of life, many go to live in the cave being disgusted with the world. Because their unadjusting nature, to live in the world, it means you have to make adjustments. You are living with 10 people, so if you are not able to make suitable adjustments in you, then you become cause of irritation to yourself and to others, and then you feel, living with these people terrible. Let me go and sit in the cave and be peaceful. It is not possible to get peace in the cave. In many, many such cases, the person sits in the cave and gradually gets adjusted to the life of the cave by just becomes a caveman, It is the caveman is not a spiritual person automatically, and starts building some kinds of garden and all those things around, and spends time like that. Let me have a garden, and then starts talking to the plants, and doesn't want to talk to anybody, So therefore he has come here, but then gradually starts talking to birds and plants and all that, and then becomes busy in that. It is not easy to be meditating. That attitude, if not there, it is very difficult to be able to meditate. Those people who meditate, they are also doing the work of meditation. It is a different work. The works vary. Like many may feel that those who do the work of thinking, they do not really work. No, many, many great inventions come out of thinking. Now, thinking is the work for that person. So, similarly, for those who are meditating, that meditation is a work. Then what happens as that work, if done skillfully, has the same potential. Somebody is doing farming, same work. And meditating, similar potential for the one who is meditating. Both purify their minds and come to the same goal. Swami Vivekananda therefore says that those who are cast in the mold of Sri Ramakrishna, he was telling the novice when these monks coming there in that mutt there in the monastery, he told that you have to see that this moment you should be studying the scriptures. Next moment you should be ready to work in the fields there. And then you should go and deeply meditate. And then maybe it is time to take the produce to the market and sell it. All these works you have to do as worship. So, this is the lesson that we have to learn from Bhagavad Gita. If not done like this, then those who have the worship as their work, many paid these priests, they are doing it as work. That okay, done. Like I may be doing it, today's class is done, finished, as if a work is done, you know. It is just because somebody is a minister and gives lectures doesn't mean that that person is not working. That the person is working, and that work also comes under the same rule that it has to be done without the result, this attachment to the results. Whatever work we are being given, this theme will be expounded more and more in the coming chapters, that how doing work in any fashion, meditation, worship, they also are works, and that rule becomes applicable to that too. Let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namani Yani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.